welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Red vs. Blue After Show. It's season 15, and we are just 10 flavors of stoked to be here, and no one's in the hospital because no one's been shot in the ass, so it's great. We are covering season 15, episodes 1 through 4, and we'll see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Just realize anyone watching that cold open without context is going to be really worried about us. I would hope that they would have context, because why would you be watching this after show without it? Well, occasionally we have fans from other shows who follow us as hosts, and we love you. And occasionally my parents watch things and say, I have no idea what you were talking about, but you sounded really good. And it's like, thanks.
Or hopefully they follow us on social media and know that we haven't been in the hospital for the past little while.
Yeah. That too. No one has been shot in the ass, so we are good to go. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Red vs. Blue After Show. We are back for season 15. We are covering episodes... I'm so excited I can't speak. Season 15, episodes 1 through 4, Prologue, The Chronicle, The Mother of Destruction, and Chorus Lessons. As you can tell from the numbering, we are working with the public release, not the first release, so we will not be discussing episode 5, and we ask that you keep the chat and the comments of this video and the hashtag spoiler-free so as to not spoil people who have not seen the fifth episode.
Yeah, you guys don't want to spoil the fact that the Reds and Blues all die in the next episode. You just
well,
don't...
at least one does. Well, at least one does, for sure.
But it's not who you think.
The answer may surprise you.
We're starting with clickbait. Are we starting with clickbait?
I, of course, have my spoiler panel with me.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
And I'm spoiled. I'm on the internet. You can find me at Mark B. Donica, because I'm Mark B. Donica.
And I like to be spoiler-free, but it just doesn't happen. I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have the Twitter hashtag, ABTVRVB, because when it comes to Rooster Teeth Productions, we like our alphabet soup. We have the YouTube live chat, which is lively with a lot of the same people in here from Ruby. We love you guys, and we're so glad to see you again.
And some new folks.
And some new folks, yeah.
Ooh, new people!
Yeah,
hello,
Jason,
everyone!
Jason Potter, first time catching the RVB after show. I'm
so
excited.
Regal.
Same with P.W. Gregory, live for the first time, stoked, and Ginger Spice. And Malachroma and the Xehanorto are back. Hello, you lovely human beings.
Hi,
we
guys.
Adore you. So if you have something fun to say, throw in the hashtag, throw in the live chat. Just like that, you may well get a shout-out. Let's talk about this. I am enjoying this season a lot so far.
I gotta say, I love the idea of approaching this season from an outside perspective via, you know, a journalistic lens. With having an outsider having to piece together things, because I feel like we haven't had that since Agent Washington was trying to get the Reds and Blues back together.
Which is also referenced.
Yeah, exactly.
This whole thing has been a wonderful journey through the history of Red versus Blue, and is another way that you can get started with the franchise. It's really hard to say that because I've been watching every single season up to this point.
Yeah.
But because every episode has a bit of... It has intrigue, whether you know the characters or not, and Dylan is sort of our avatar into this world, especially at the end of episode 4 with her... when Yeah, regardless, we'll get there.
She's the audience point of view.
Yeah.
She is who the audience is to relate with and who they follow. And given that we got the summary video released about month and a half ago about
if you've never
seen Red versus Blue, watch this video and it'll catch you up in 8 minutes or less with the discount Morgan Freeman narration, which called itself out as being discount Morgan Freeman narration, which I adored.
But that guy is amazing. He does Christopher Walken throughs.
He does
video game playthroughs as Christopher Walken, and his Walken is amazing.
Oh my God.
It's on Machinima. I highly recommend everybody go check it out. He's a wonderful voice actor. He's also on Beer and Board Games.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were getting into this fairly fresh, actually, and we start with what looks like might be a heist from the Reds and Blues. And I love that our through line for the first three episodes is, who are these people? And I love that it's very easy to call that it's not them, and that they don't spend the whole season trying to figure out if it's actually the Reds and Blues. Like,
yeah.
We have Dylan, the fan avatar, who has done her homework and goes, no, the voices are wrong, the weapons are wrong, no one does that. Like, no, this isn't...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
They and the whole audience is like, well, thank you.
Well, the whole
vindicated.
The whole audience basically knows that it's not them when the person wearing light blue armor takes off his helmet. His or her helmet. Yeah. We don't know.
Their helmet.
Because that is expensive equipment and you're just going to leave it there? And on second watch, they dropped a line that I hadn't picked up. That helmet that was recovered at the scene was traced back to Project Freelancer. Like, I missed that line on my first watch. So we have these fake reds and blues. We have a list of freelancers. Like, Dylan managed to get all of the freelancers, including real names, which kind of has everyone going, and?
Ooh.
And
nothing turned up.
Validate my headcanon.
BS. BS at nothing turned up. There's all of the stuff in between. You want to ask so many more questions and find out that much more, but hopefully we get to go back, but the way it looks like we're moving nowhere but forward.
It is very intriguing that everybody, you know, all of the remnants of Project Freelancer, everybody who's left has either disappeared or is now dead. I'm sitting here going, did Project Freelancer just maroon all of them? Like, all of them?
Well, but we also have the disappearances all occur. Like, yeah. The ones that were dead, they're dead. We got that. You
but
know?
No, it all
stabbed
occurred.
In the chest, fell off a cliff, drowned. I mean, come on.
It all occurred shortly after these imposters started committing their crimes.
So this we're wandering into theory territory here, but I am going to throw it out because we're here. I think they're former freelancers. I think they have the training.
We're doing predictions first.
We're here.
All right. Okay.
We're here. I'm throwing it out now. Wow, you came organized.
Yeah.
I do think that they're former freelancers. I think that they are using these identities to cover their tracks. They would have already had the armor. They could have repainted it. Like, I think that that's what they're doing. That they're the middle of the board people that we never really heard about.
The leftovers.
Well, no, the leftovers get marooned on Not Sidewinder.
Yeah, okay, fair.
A lot of people got marooned on Not Sidewinder, I would imagine. And actual Sidewinder.
Those poor people.
Mm. And the entire chat is asking for Washington's last name and Carolina's first name.
We're never
going to get it,
y'all. That was exactly what I wanted. I was like, so you got Carolina's name for us?
Well, she's just going to drop it. Like, when she's talking to people, when Dylan's talking to people, she'll just be like, so-and-so, we're just talking, and everybody's going to go, wait, who are you talking to? It's like, I'm talking to her. And Carolyn's like, crap, I hate my name.
I think that she'll probably drop David, because it's the one the audience knows.
Sure.
Before Wash goes, no, not anymore.
Oh, God.
And so we'll have that, freelancers have first names, and we also have that, don't use them.
Well, wouldn't it be awful if her name was Allison? Like, if she was named after Mom or something.
That's where I was going to go with that. But at the same time, in the opposite direction, I want to go in a Homer J. Simpson direction with Washington.
From now on, my name is Homer J. Simpson.
And Washington's real name is David Washington.
Yeah, no, I love it.
That would be amazing.
Because why not?
It's like, David, his first name is Agent.
Yeah.
You know, full Iron Man for this. Malachroma says, plot twist, it's the triplets and the Caron folks, and they're back for revenge.
That would be amazing. Like, they finally get back to civilization, and they're like, we're done. We're just going to cause anarchy and chaos.
Well, speaking to sort of, like, the childhood nature, I rewatched the end of season 13 and listened to Church's monologue again. And and talking about how we couldn't do it as the one construct, but would have to break into the rest. What if the constructs got freed from just the AI space? What if they started inhabiting their own armor? And the frog timer can indicate Theta, who is a little bit younger. But that also indicates Caboose.
So
So you're theorizing that even though Epsilon is gone, the memory of all the fragments have now been separated into different robot bodies?
Because he's... Well, maybe not robot bodies, but maybe just armor.
Okay.
But the Epsilon / Church says himself, I can't do it with this. I have to give up who I am in order to do what I need to do, which we still don't know what he did.
And memory always was the key.
And we come back to memory being the key.
That's an interesting thought because, like, they, I liked that they kept around the different AI constructs through Epsilon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting idea. My only thought about them being former freelancers is what's the motive here? And that's my question I ask anytime anyone evil is doing anything is to what motive?
Personal gain.
Power,
but we still don't know
money.
What happened at the end of season
13. We don't. No, we don't.
I get the feeling we're not going to know what happened. Or if we get anything, we're not getting details. And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Because
they could write could measure up to what we've all been imagining.
I'm pretty sure Miles actually said on our after show, if like we could go like forever without ever addressing what happens at the end of that season, he would be happy.
It's a good ending.
So
we do get a run-in with them, and they're obviously not happy to be here with these fake reds and blues. And the other character that we get a run-in with is, I'm calling it Rhino. Because it's easy to say, and it's black armor, and they've got a very obnoxious horn.
Excuse me, Mr. Narwhal.
Yeah. It's Keyblade Master Ira. The head of the unicorn.
Definitely.
Lord.
There have definitely been a lot of unicorn jokes, a lot of narwhal jokes, rhinoceros jokes. Take your pick.
Unicrino.
Oh, Unicrino. Agent Unicrino.
Yeah. Yeah, and Unicron. He's got the weird voice.
So
they have the weird voice.
Yeah, they
have
do.
No
because
idea
the
what
voice
type of
is
they
so
are.
Garbled, I would be very surprised if it weren't a woman in there.
You know what I did notice watching it the second time is even though the voice is very distinctive, it has a little bit of an accent.
There is one.
I can't place it because of how distorted the voice actually is, but there is an accent there. So I'm like, ooh, where are you from? What do you do?
And they're looking for Tucker. And we don't know why, because we get the cagiest answers ever.
I think I might know. It might be somebody.
Alimony.
That's exactly where I was going.
And that ultimately has, like, that's the ultimate payoff. That'd be great. That would be pretty damn funny.
Have someone point out to me, like, they got in a firefight immediately, and someone pointed out, we never see them fire a shot back. We see the reds and blues fire on them. We don't ever see them fire back.
Lavernius Tucker, you have been served.
Yeah, something. it's just like unpaid parking tickets.
Yes, oh my gosh.
Something like that.
But just the cages. I am no one, not to you. I am only someone to those I seek and those I serve. I seek to serve. I serve whoever I am told. And goodbye. Like, are you serious? But that's what makes me think it's not Locust.
Well, and I
was definitely not.
Oh, it's like 80,000 steps back for Locust.
Is there anybody who actually thinks it could be Locust?
Oh, we had someone in chat theorize it.
I feel like where we left Locust, it doesn't make any sense for him to. He would have had to have a major relapse like psyche shattering event for him to be in this particular position right now.
We had this character arc. If we put him in that armor, there's no
It's a
point
huge
to
disservice
it.
To him.
Mm-hmm. Well,
for sure.
And this fandom has a habit of taking a previous villain every time there's a new mysterious person and trying to put them in there. For the longest time, there were a lot of theories that Locust was the meta. It's like, no, dead. He's real dead.
Dead. I understand that as somebody who really likes a lot of the red versus blue villains. Like, I totally get that. I love O'Malley. I love the meta. They're all dead now.
O'Malley's
around.
And Doc.
Yeah, O'Malley and Doc are still
around. As a split personality of Doc.
Sure.
I'll take it.
I'll take it as long as, anyway. But as far as this guy goes, too, I'm also inclined to believe that he or she isn't necessarily evil. Because, for one, we don't see them take a shot at the Reds and Blues. And, like, he or she feels the need to tell, you know, this reporter, hey, your attackers are gone. You can go now.
We know nothing about them.
No.
They look terrifying, but we really don't know anything about them.
I have a crazy theory about who it may be.
Ooh. Go fight win.
I think it may be Frank, the original cameraman, who for one reason or another, we're not paid enough, we're not this. I think he may have seen the crime scene and went, I know exactly what this is. I need to do something about it. Time to resume what, or he got tapped. And because the nature of the stories that Dylan likes to report, he was put there to be up front with any of the breaking news that she would report. Ooh. And one of the only reasons I bring it up is because Frank was voiced by Davy J, who's one of the leads from Day 5. And it's cool to have the actors in there, and it could just be a cameo.
Yeah.
Just because they're in the family now. But he is so good. And I would absolutely love to see that character continue despite what we may have seen. And I like when they give you the answer in the first episode and don't come back.
Yeah, I do too. Ooh, I like that theory.
That is a good theory.
There might be a lot more to Frank than we thought.
Damn it,
McCall. There's also a few theories going around that it could be Cyrus in there. Locus and Felix's old partner.
I would love to know what happened to Cyrus, because we saw him in season 4. For anybody who skipped season 14, there's a trilogy.
Required viewing is Merx.
Required viewing for sure. And we were left wondering what happened to poor Cyrus, because he seemed to be the moral compass of that little cadre.
And he obviously departs in some fashion, because they have no moral compass when we find them on Chorus.
That's really not a terrible idea, because if Cyrus finds out that Tucker is ultimately could have been responsible for Felix's death,
ooh,
could be coming back for just to find out why, or to be like, yo, he had a family, or this, that, or the other. Like, it might be the opposite reveal of what Felix and what Felix was.
Felix was so good at manipulating people. Cyrus might not have, like, they might have just parted ways naturally because Cyrus had a family. Mm-hmm. And so Felix might have had him completely convinced that he was a good guy still. I don't know. It's a possibility.
I think Cyrus was pretty aware of the type of people he was working
either
with.
Either that or, like, Felix totally left Cyrus to die.
I'm going with that.
It also honestly could be that, like, maybe Cyrus is on a quest for revenge, and Locus was last seen with the Reds and Blues, and so maybe that's why he's trying to find Tucker? I don't know.
But just
Tucker?
Or it
might not be him at all. I would not be surprised if at some point in the future we don't get more trio stories, if we don't get more Merc stories. And so I'm interested in this theory, but I'm not putting any eggs in that basket.
That's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want Chris Sabat in more Red versus
sure.
Blue.
Oh, yeah. But I really do think that they're saving the character for somewhere else.
I feel like that's a fair assessment.
And I like how this after show has just turned into rampant speculation.
We talk about characters and then we speculate wildly.
I've got one more rampant speculation.
Ooh, let's hear
Referring back to season 14, it started out with one of my favorite episodes of the entire thing, which was Church creating another iteration of trying to bring Tex back. And I know that didn't take place in the current timeline, but what if one of those Church memory banks became real, and his memory of the Reds and Blues became these new versions, and were taken advantage by the government because they were on, or not the UNSC, but were taken advantage of by Project Freelancer, and used all of the same tech.
Church been through enough?
No,
Lord.
No. Damn it! They keep
just let him go. Say goodbye.
You say goodbye to Tex. Now we're gonna say goodbye to Church.
Yep, I forget
say
you.
Goodbye. Oh. So let's swing into let's talk about Dylan.
I love her. Oh my god!
I love her so much. She is our mover and shaker. She is our focal character for this season, and I love it. Mm. I love that we have a female main character, and I love that we get a very good scope of her personality within the first 5 or so minutes of meeting her. She's very, very good at what she does. But the problem is, she's very, very good at what she does, and doesn't focus on much else. She doesn't notice that her cameraman is someone completely different until he draws her attention to it. I'm not Frank. What do you mean you're not Frank?
Yeah, they got all the way to Blood Gulch before she realized.
Well, new Frank.
And she has a husband that she hasn't seen in months.
She didn't and even tell him where she was going.
And when she calls him for a favor. And we do get the passage of time. Like, it's been 10 months since Chorus. You have a week for this story. You've been gone for weeks. Where are you? Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from you in weeks. Are you okay? Like, she disappeared in order to go through this story, in order to cover what is a very dangerous event. And she's so married to the job, and that's the really big flaw, is because everyone else is kind of chess pieces when you're like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To the point where her husband is asking, are we still married? I'm
that was
not really sure. Yeah,
was the delivery on that was perfect.
Yeah, and you really feel for this guy in that moment. And again, we know very little about Dylan, but just as you said, the delivery in that line speaks volumes about her and about her relationship and about her relationship to the job. And yeah,
and despite
also
that,
she has cats. I approve.
She has cats, but also in her phone, in her contacts list, he's listed as Hubby Boo.
Yeah,
he's listed as Hubby Boo second after his job title.
Fair, but still,
but there's love there.
Something there, or was something there.
Aww.
Yeah. So, and she's very intelligent. She's very quick on her feet. The acronym bit, I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah. Apparently, you can get into wherever you want if you just speak fast enough and use enough acronyms.
We have a live LOL RPG class 1 FUBAR.
Over 5,000. Wow.
That's a lot. I like the
doesn't
change.
Speak a word of English, but he's the best in the business. Isn't that right?
Oui. I love the change of hey. No, you can't come here to... Well, that sounds like a lot.
Speak quickly and act like you know what you're doing, and you can part the Red Sea.
That's how I have a job. And
I did like how Frank walked away and went, FML.
Yeah. Just, there were a lot of really good throwaway, like, sidelines. God. Her talking with Sister... And they're talking about what Sister's been up to, and they're talking about the festival she's been throwing and the event she's been running, and then it's like, so back to the Reds and Blues, and just the one-off, there goes the Bechdel test. Oh my god.
So great. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I thought that I would get tired of Jax's, like, fourth wall breaking film reference-y sort of stuff, but it's been sticking pretty well.
He's so naive about it that off way more endearing than annoying.
But in episode 3, where it's like, say we've got company! That's how action scenes start.
See, I waver on him a lot, because watching the episodes week by week, it's like, oh, okay. And then watching all 4 episodes back to back, which is what I did to review for this, was just like, please stop. Please stop. Oh my god. Please stop.
It didn't bother me.
He's a beautiful young child.
I'm like, he's a sweet baby angel.
Hey, he's my baby.
I'm the only one who wasn't a film major on this panel, aren't I?
I wasn't a film major.
I was a telecommunications, TV production, and sociology major.
Yeah, you're a film major.
I also have a useless degree.
I have.
Me too.
I have 2, because not only was I a double major in that, but I also have an MBA.
Theater major. Trumped ya.
English major.
You could be a teacher.
Not without a lot of training.
Fair.
Not
plus
true.
I'm the one that gets the very public jokes about it. Oh. There's a song about how useless my major is.
I know somebody who became a teacher with literally 0 training. So.
I'm aware. There are exceptions that prove every
anyway,
rule.
Anyway, before we get
We're
the off-topic
way
button.
Off-topic. Speaking of which, Jax is off the grid because he doesn't want to pay his student loans.
Well, you know what?
I can't blame him.
You know what? If I was in Jax's position, I would absolutely take this type of internship because it's better than being stuck in an office and making coffee.
See, and here's
he's getting real world experience.
At the beginning, it's his first internship. He has 47 more credits until he graduates. But the second he shows back up, his student loans kick in. He's paying them while he's in school.
Some people are proactive about
it. How screwed up is our economy in 500 years in the future after a war with aliens?
Sounds about the same.
Yeah. Speaking of 500 years in the future after a war with aliens, I'm worried about Chorus.
You're worried about I'm worried about Vic. We totally skipped over this suicidal artificial intelligence.
Just kidding. It's the opposite day. Totally news. Not kill me.
Yeah. I mean, and we've never established whether he's a smart AI or if he's a dumb AI. If he's a smart AI, he's rampant at this point. He is far past rampant. He is insane. I don't know that dumb AI go rampant, but we know that he is with it enough that the isolation has probably driven him mad.
But that's the thing. Isolation. He doesn't have a connection, like a hardline connection to Red Base and Blue Base. He is Red Base and Blue Base in command. So as far as we know, they just took the construct, threw it in a computer, and that's even worse, is he can't talk to anybody unless they're there.
I think it's very interesting that we get this scene with Vic right after a season where he was the narrator. I'm starting to think that, like, all of the AUs were just him going crazy.
That's what I wish that they would have referenced it. That's the one thing that I wanted out of that scene was, I even cut him up into five-minute pop-up little episodes, dude. So I went, and once I got done doing that, I started making up my own stories. Like, I thought we were going to get something like that, despite, you know, not everything in episode 14 being necessarily canon, but I think it would have put a wonderful
bracket. It would have been very funny.
Yeah. I do love that he essentially handed them a box set of the Blood Gulch Chronicles. Yeah. Like, that's pretty what much. That was.
Well, and also, I just find it very interesting. I've never seen, like, a movie or a TV show kill off the narrator of the previous movie.
We don't know if he's dead.
No, we don't know what
he did. It's
ambiguous.
Better, it's better if we don't know.
It really is, because I can see it either way.
Yeah.
I really can.
What an awful moral dilemma. Please kill me.
That's me and Grandma. I'm out of here.
And the other thing I wrote down before we're done with episode 2 is jet fuel can't JFK the moon landing.
God, I miss Sister so
because
much.
Because I love Sister so
Sometimes
much.
Sometimes I'm just missing. Yeah.
Kakaina.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, they're from Hawaii.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I love that, like, they're actually Hawaiian. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, that's fantastic. And, like, I also love, too, the line, like, sometimes I just miss being a simple hussy.
I think I'm coming up on another bi phase, too. So we got the cameraman.
Let's get to it.
What?
I love that, like, the running joke with sisters. She'll say something and everyone's like, wait, what?
Hmm? Yeah, I love it so much.
It's been a long time since that joke has come back, and it makes me happy.
I do love that it was a little toned down this episode. Because sometimes, I know the joke with Sister is, how bad can it get? How much can you push it? And I'm like, well, you push it way past my comfort line before you hit hers.
Well, I love
so her. I am happy that it was toned back, like, maybe 2%.
I have a special place in my heart for Sister, because when she was introduced, my older brother, who got me into Red versus Blue, he's like, ha, now you know what it's like. Like, this is what being an older brother feels like. And I always laughed. But, like, I really like that she really does think the world of Griff.
And we
see that here. She's like, he won't admit it, but he's a huge softie.
He is literally the only person that was drafted from a one-person draft. He's the one person who didn't want to be there. And she joined the army to go find him because she knows.
Yeah. And also, too, like, when she did show up, he's like, I don't want my little sister in danger. Go home. Like, yeah. Shoo. Yeah. Also, you're cramping my style. Get out of here.
Like, they are
you're
good
gonna
siblings.
Embarrass me.
They are good siblings, and they do care.
That's always really nice.
I do want to talk a little bit about Chorus.
Of course.
We were on Chorus. It was wonderful. And I worry about them with the whole wanting to remain independent of the UNSC thing, because that's how the Civil War started before the Covenant showed up and it became the Human Covenant War. Like, that is the war for which the Spartan Twos were initially created, and this is how it starts.
You know, there's a saying that's coming to mind right now, and that's war. War never changes.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. So, yeah, we have this situation, which is not good, and I'm sure it's the UNSC going, oh God, not this again, yeah. I don't want to do it,
well,
and Chorus going...
How long until... Yeah, well, for one, they were forgotten about until this giant incident, so, like...
Like, a genocide occurred on their planet, and no one noticed until an extremely fortunate, crazy accident.
And it's just how long until the UNSC just decides to strong-arm the planet into doing what they want?
And now they're a well-known planet.
Well, and how many people are even on Chorus right now? What kind of a defensive could they put up against the UNSC?
Who knows? But I mean, how bad does it look if you have this planet that just survived a genocide and then you invade them?
They do have alien weapons, like ancient alien weapons. They've got more than that.
They've got constructs as well.
Actually,
speaking of which, that's why I wore my Mexican
Por favor, Santa, no!
Make sure to watch the Crunch Time after show, also on AfterBuzz TV. But after times of war, are there not boom periods when it comes to population? We're 10 months out. I figure Doyle General Hospital was their baby unit was pretty... newborn unit was pretty full.
I love that it's full. Doyle General Hospital.
I didn't catch that. And Zanordo brought that up in chat, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, like that when... Doyle General Hospital. My heart broke a little bit. I'm like, oh.
And I do love that we got the continuing Law and Order jokes. Yep. So they could bring that up and drop that.
CSI for life.
And I love seeing
CSI Miami
again.
For life, like, puts on sunglasses.
These past four episodes of getting a chance to sort of see the best, almost the best of, because we didn't get to see a lot of the freelancers in the freelancer episode, but getting to see the recruits again and getting to see Sister again. And it was nice to relive those, and it almost made me... Well, it did. Like, after the Sister episode, I did some traveling, and I downloaded season 5 from Netflix and watched it on the plane ride to see Sister's first season again. So it's making me want to rewatch all this stuff, but it's hours. It's hours of content. Don't do it. If you're trying to do just don't do it. We're near the end of the year. If you're in school still, stay studying.
Focus on your studies.
Use it as a reward, then buy the RVBX.
Yeah, wait till you go on to summer vacation. Yeah. You crazy kids.
Like, put it on when you're cleaning or working on something with your hands.
Always stop and start watching it. Like, I'm just going to...
I
put it on, like, my iPad or whatever, and then kind of carry it around with me if I go to a different room, but I have season 8, like, half memorized at this point, so I just gotta, whatever, we good.
When I got the DVDs, I definitely put on, like, the commentary tracks, like, as I did the dishes.
Yeah.
And then found other things to do until it was done.
She's gonna keep working. But, yeah, Chorus is functional. It's working. God bless Dr. Gray. God bless Dr. Gray being the smartest person in the room.
The smartest and the saltiest.
Oh, I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about you.
I thought the vultures came after the slaughter.
Dang!
Just like, dang.
I really wish there was somebody there with just like a reggaeton horn. Just bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam. Well, I mean, think about it. Like, they won their planet after a genocide. And now the UNSC has come in, and a group of criminals are making villains of the people who gained them their freedom, essentially.
Well, and so from what we can understand, I don't think the fake Reds and Blues have ever said anything about Chorus. The press ran with an assumption that they were doing this on the behalf of Chorus, and that's just made everything worse. It's horribly unsubstantiated, but it's one of those rumors that becomes fact because
everybody
knows
says it.
This.
I think that's what that's definitely what Gray was trying to allude to.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and just using Dylan as a representative of that. And somebody in chat mentioned earlier that I didn't realize that Dylan was mentioned at the end of season 12, who wrote the story about the Reds and Blues on Chorus. And so they brought that character back and are currently using her to her full potential.
Yeah. And I'm so glad because she's great. And I love that we have blackmailing Alfred Packard, the diplomat.
Yeah.
I am absolutely waiting for that to come back, especially since he had no public records.
I'm wondering if he's going to sort of become this season's director or chairman. You know, just because they've thrown that name out there, it sounds like he's the person... trying to strong arm the entire planet right now. So.
Well, and she specifically said he was involved in something called the Saruman leak, which has not been mentioned in Red versus Blue before, if the wiki is to be believed. So what are we looking at? Like, we said that name too many times and spent too much time on that for it not to
and
come back in some
capacity.
Apparently
he's a monster that shortchanges his hookers, and that's just deplorable.
And
he
is the UNSC assigned diplomat to Chorus, which you think you'd put your best on the job when you're in the middle of a media firestorm, but...
Mm. Well, not just that, but, I mean, if you're on the brink of a possible civil war, you would have to put somebody there on the front lines. I don't...
as much as I think Chorus will remain a central part of this story, I don't think that it's going to be the Reds and Blues and Chorus versus the UNSC.
No.
No.
I think a lot of it's going to be finding these fake Reds and Blues. Who are they? What's their goal? Why? And also figuring out Rhino and their motives.
Well, it could be, and it could be that, you know, the whole, that there are several things that could be purposely misleading here as we're just starting the investigation. The idea that this is tied to Project Freelancer could be a red herring. The idea that these guys might have a tie to Chorus, that could be a red herring too. Like
communism.
Exactly. So, like, again, we're, again, that's one of the reasons why I'm enjoying that this story is being told through the eyes of a journalist, because she's digging through this, all of the facts, to try to get to the truth.
Mm-hmm. I did love her little bit about, why do you want this? Be specific. And truth and facts are the currency of the galaxy, is what I wrote down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also the, I want to see how their story ends. I'm like, you are the fan avatar, aren't you?
Yeah.
You really are.
You and me both, sister.
You really, really are. And then we have a message put into play. Because evidently on Chorus, they received a message that was meant for the Reds and Blues. They
from
can't.
Whom?
Yeah, they don't know who it's from. They can't trace its origin, and they didn't tell us what's on it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they
need to get it to the Reds and Blues?
Do you think they looked at it, or do you think they were just like, "Hey, it's for the Reds and Blues"?
Oh, I think they absolutely looked at it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it could have been either way. To be honest, it could have been
just to make sure
safe. Yeah, the way that Kimball said it, the less people that know about it, the better. And they wanted to reward that trust they wanted to reward their trust by not betraying it instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I mean, I think Kimball and Santa looked at it, and maybe a few other people.
Still, so fun to do.
I love Santa. So, do you want to know what she's afraid of? It's currently me.
It's me.
Duh. Like, you can just hear the smile in his voice. Like,
I love that he's developed a sense of humor.
I think he always had a sense of humor.
Probably. He was alone for a long time.
Yeah.
And now he has people to laugh at his jokes. That's so great.
At least one person.
These are my people, and I like them. Like, I think he's adopted everyone who lives on Chorus.
Well, and I love that, you know, Kimball refers to him as a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh. Well, they've been working together for 10 months.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we end with an extended Force Awakens parody, which, may the Force be with you guys.
And also with you.
I'm wearing my BB-8 shirt and my glitter for Carrie, so we are, oh man, this was amazing.
And Caboose is dead.
And Caboose is dead.
And that's how it finally happens.
It's a good season, everybody.
And I mean,
great season, everybody.
The music, the cinematography, the everything mirroring it, almost shot for shot. And I'm just sitting there watching it going, ruin it, ruin it, ruin it, come on. And then they do. And it's just at the end, the fuck.
Yeah. I'm just surprised that Jax didn't make a comment about how Star Warsian it was. Yeah.
Well, we had a bunch of those in season 12, end of season 11.
Probably. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time in those
things that I
ago.
Remember. I mean, you have a sword, and it's the Federation versus the New Republic, and it's totally Star Wars, right? Yeah. Let's not think about the awful things that just happened to us. The end of season 11 was rough. It hurt.
Yep.
All right, so that we end with Caboose going over a cliff, because that is life.
Yep.
And yeah, like I said, we know that episode 5 is out, but no spoilers in the comments.
We got a couple in the chat already.
It would be hilarious, though, if, like, after everything, that is how Caboose dies.
It's like, and you know what? You know what would be said about it? That was the worst death ever.
Of all time.
Let me finish
Malachroma
the joke,
in chat saying, good thing Gray's a doctor, because someone's going to have to treat those sick burns. And like five people going, hey, afterwards.
I thought they were just saying, hey. Whoops.
Hey.
Hey. I appreciate you all. I appreciate you all. So, let's see. I think we're going to talk about iTunes for a minute or two before we go into predictions. So would you mind pulling up iTunes?
No, don't make me do it.
I'll do it.
Oh, no.
if you don't want to do it, I'll do it.
No, it's just the last time I tried to pull it up, like, the dates were all wrong.
Actually, I'd mixed things up. That was user error. That was my fault. But that was a different show. So, for those of you who are new, welcome, hello, we love you. If you like this after show, if you would like to keep this after show on the air, the best thing you can do for us is to go onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, and rate it 5 stars and leave a review. Because when you do that, for one, our producers do look at those ratings and those reviews, and if they see that, hey, people really like this show, and they're watching it, and they're listening to it, and they want to keep it, then we get to stay on the air for another, you know, 35 seasons, or however long Red vs. Blue goes. Also, if you leave a rating, those ratings do add up, and then they help our search results. So we will come up higher in the iTunes search results, and it helps people find us, listen to the show, gets us, you know, more people in the fandom, more people discussing. Always a good thing. And also, if you leave a review, we give you a shout-out.
When did we go off the air? Real quick question.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
It will forever be a mystery.
No, it won't. It'll be a mystery for about 30 seconds.
Time ago.
Keep amping.
In a galaxy
Do
far,
we have
far
anything
away.
Within, like, the past 4 months?
The last one we have was from September.
I legitimately have no idea
yeah, that's
when
what I'm trying
we
to
stopped.
Figure out. How many episodes were there?
There were
24.
When did the anthology
stop?
Yes,
there were 24.
Okay.
We had Shannon
we don't have it, then
our
we
last
don't
show.
Have any new reviews.
Good to know.
But the last one we did get was The Rooster Teeth Are the Best by Sierra Chan, is what it looks like. So thank you.
Thank you so much. So yeah, if you leave a review, we'll give you a shout out on the show. And those really do super help us out, especially since we have 4 weeks between shows because of how this after show is structured. Mm-hmm. So do the thing, win the stuff. It'll be great. Let's do some real quick predictions, just kind of a summary of what we've been talking
okay.
about.
That's the first half hour.
Corner's broken.
Oh no, we have no. We have,
that's okay.
I have a light show.
Damn
therefore
it.
Therefore, it's fine.
Damn.
Gonna have to talk to the second unit, guys.
Seriously.
So we have our Force Awakens jokes, so I think that we're eventually going to get our Rogue One jokes, and it's going to be very painful.
Aww.
No, I'm not.
Everyone's going to die.
Everyone's going to die. It'll be terrible. No, I do think that Rhino is a new person that we haven't seen before.
I concur with that assessment.
I do think that Rhino is a woman, and I think that that's why we have that voice filter in place, because the last time we had a voice filter that heavy was Tex. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm definitely standing behind the fake reds and blues are freelancers from the middle of the tier who are just using it as cover.
I'm going to go with the alimony theory.
That's a super solid theory.
I love the alimony theory so much.
Like, it's completely unrelated to whatever the goal these criminals have. And it's literally just someone trying to get alimony from Tucker. And they end up joining the Reds and Blues team.
Well, we
no.
do have the Reds Maybe and Blues. Well, we need to adopt another Red, let's be real. We're on the same planet, moon, whatever it is, as the Reds and Blues.
That's no moon. Thank you.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Get out.
Love you too, everybody. Thank you, Internet.
Bless. So the question is, after we have the inevitable funeral for Caboose, conversations, delivery of whatever the message is.
He died as he lived.
Like an idiot. Do we think that the Reds and Blues will pick up and go with Dylan and Jax, or do we think it's going to be a leaving them and continuing on?
Trying to get them to do anything is pulling teeth. Like, there's no way.
And especially, by the way Kimball put it, it would have to be something huge. It would have to be something big in order to get them out of their break.
This is true, and we still don't know what's in the message yet.
No, we don't. People in chat.
We're just like staring at people going.
But get a first membership. Your first month's free. Anyway.
Yes. Rowan Fardy says, personally, I'm not even sure Rhino is human. And Ooh. P.W. Gregory says, I think the fake Reds and Blues are the freelancers that were sent to replace Agent Florida. Because there was a list that we got in that little prequel trilogy at the beginning of season 14. And then that got wiped because Vic had a brain fart.
Didn't Florida trip over one of his cables?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And then Hero 75 says, I still want a Ruby Easter egg with the voices of Team Ruby as a Halo team.
Uh-huh. Well,
we did get a Ruby shout out with the sexy teenagers fighting monsters crying.
And but we're also, this isn't necessarily a prediction as much as something that I'm sure the entire fandom is looking forward to, but the drunk Red versus Blue reading that was recorded a couple years ago as a live stream that never made it to air, that people donated, or there are enough first members that got them to play it. They say that they're editing it right now, and I think Bernie said it was episode 2.
Ooh.
That way was a drunk reading of episode of season 1 episode 2.
Oh,
where
gracious.
they just kept drinking, and it was bad.
That sounds like it's going to be amazing.
Oh gracious. Christ. And we also have the achievement hunter dub of Ruby.
Yeah, there is that. That's what made me think of it.
If you want to watch the episodes early, and if you want to get all sorts of other ridiculously fun stuff, first memberships are free for the first 30 days and costs a hell of a lot less than Netflix and Hulu and
YouTube
every
TV.
Other subscription that I am a part of.
Yeah.
For a year. It's like $10 for 6 months or $15 for 6 months.
It looks like if you're not doing so well and you look at the price, you go, oh, that seems like a lot. It really isn't. Just do it. Really. You're doing yourself a disservice by not being a member first.
Yeah.
They're not paying us yet. But
I was going to say, we're not sponsored
by
Rooster Teeth.
Sponsor sponsorship.
We would just like them to be able to continue to make the shows that we love.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Hey, support your creators, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Rowan Farty, did not expect them to read out my comment, but you guys just made my day.
Aww.
That's how we do. I dropped my pen. It's okay. I can
you
get it.
Didn't drop your pen. You flung your
it's
pen.
Gone.
It's
gone.
Your
man.
Pen went on a journey. It pulled a caboose.
Pulled a caboose. It's dead.
My
pen is not dead.
It flew off.
It is a blue pen.
It is a blue pen.
It is a blue pen.
Okay. All right. Well, does anyone have any final thoughts?
Just that I think this season is off to a great start. I'm intrigued. I like that it's being told. For the fans. Again, Dylan is basically a fan who happens to be a character in the series.
Yeah.
And I hope her first meeting with them, it is not necessarily like a huge fangirl moment, but just a moment where it's like, I watched 100 episodes. You guys are absolutely ridiculous. I love you. I hate you. What the hell is wrong with you?
I just hope she's not disappointed.
Nice to meet.
I feel like even watching that doesn't prepare you for the real thing.
Yeah, and who knows what they're doing on that island. Again,
Malachroma says, you'll always treasure the first time After Buzz Senpai notices you.
Aww.
Hey.
We love you, Mal.
We love you, friend. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. We will be back here in 4 weeks to cover episodes 5 through 8. In the meantime, Mark, where can the people find you?
Well, have a good May, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at MarkBDonica. I did a Twitch stream today to celebrate May the 4th. I played, what did I play? I played Star Wars Episode 1 Racer Revenge, Super Star Wars, and Disney Infinity with a whole bunch of Leia. And then follow the whole team at Rooster Team. ABTV Rooster Team on Twitter. Now that we have a show in circulation again, there will be a little bit more happening through that. In case you didn't see, reminder, we don't do a show for Ruby Chibi, but dear God, that trailer for season 2, did y'all see it?
It's not coming yet. Out for my birthday.
Oh, no, but did you see the trailer?
Yes.
No.
Okay, fantastic.
I have not yet.
Okay, you should do that.
It sounds adorable.
It's tears.
It's cute.
So, Mark Pudonica, ABTV Rooster Team. Megan.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
Hi, all my buddies. I am Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social media and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you would like to watch us reacting to these episodes, those videos live on that YouTube. I'm also on a ton of shows. Samurai Jack is on Sundays. I know we didn't do Arrow on Wednesdays. We're going to have a makeup show. We'll let you know the time for that. Robots in Disguise just came back on Tuesdays. And like I said, we'll be back here in 4 weeks. In the meantime, my birthday is in 2 weeks. And if you want to spoil me, I have a wish list on my Twitter.
Cheap pop.
Absolutely. There's this thing called shame, and I don't have it. Anyways, thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Rosebud.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.